most reputable show we have, and that's not saying much. This is Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, welcome back to the program. Carpenter and Rothman, Anthony Rothman, Bobby Carpenter. And we open up the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangas Hotline and welcome aboard Jake Burns, film analyst, football writer, and Orange and Brown reporter, a little film breakdown. Jake, good to have you, bud.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, let's start with kind of an over, like an umbrella question. Who is going to be happy in the Kevin Stefanski offense, and who is going to be crying?
That's a good question. I think obviously it's an offense tailored to making quarterback play pretty simplistic. I think, you know, if you watch those guys from the Shanahan and Gary Kubiak tree in terms of, you know, McVay and obviously Kyle Shanahan, and as it's worked his way around the league a little bit, Rich Gangrello ran it in Denver last year. It's just been to be an easier system for a quarterback to run. And I don't know that necessarily makes Baker Mayfield unhappy. They're going to give the football to their two main thoroughbred running backs. And Nick Chubb, who was pretty good in outside zone structure last year anyway, will obviously be given the opportunity to thrive. And then Kareem Hunt will, playing a full season this year, given plenty of opportunities as well. They'll keep shuffling those backs in and out. And it's just really, it's tailored to everybody. I think that's a big reason why the Browns brought in Stefanski in the first place, is their personnel, even looking at their wide receivers. And, you know, if you look at just sheer volume last year, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, who battled a little bit of an injury issue, those guys didn't necessarily get a ton of volume, but they were very efficient. And that's what Stefanski's going to try to really preach is efficiency. So, you know, more downfield shots, more double moves, and you get that play action off of wide zone where you're stretching out, bootlegging, naked back off the other way, try to stretch defenses laterally to push them horizontally. So it's really, the to answer the question, it's not who doesn't benefit, because I think it benefits everybody. It's just a matter of kind of finding ways in which you can continue to get matchup advantages. A lot of tight ends will play. David Njoku will be a big part of things. Obviously, Austin Hooper, they'll get Harrison Bryant, their rookie tight end from FAU, involved quite a bit as well. It's structured, even with the offensive line and adding Jedrick Wills and Jack Conklin, who was Pro Football Focus, is one of the best zone blocking linemen in the league. It's just really tailored to what they do personnel wise. So it made a ton of sense to pair up Stefanski with this roster and even the quarterback who's most effective off of play action.
And so as you look at this, and we're talking with Jake Burns, film analyst and writer for the Orange and Brown Report here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And he talked about all that personnel, Jake, and all the different weapons and potential. And one of the things that surfaced recently was the fact that New England was the only team to offer Cam Newton a contract. The Browns were another team that kicked the tires, you know, and had talked to him and reached out. When you hear that, what did that mean to you? And did you think that would be a good addition for this squad?
Well, that's tough to answer because the timeline's a little bit murky. We don't know exactly when Cleveland reached out. I know that the signing of Case Keenum as a backup was pretty close to parallel with when Carolina granted him the opportunity to seek a trade and then subsequently released him. So it's tough. I think Andrew Berry, their new GM, is doing a great job of just looking at every avenue possible, trying to evaluate every part of everything available. And that includes quarterback, that includes defensive ends that are still in the market, Jadeveon Clowney, Everson Griffin. They're doing everything they can. I don't think it's necessarily an indictment of Baker Mayfield. I do know that this front office and head coach are not as attached to him as the previous regime that was in here, because they obviously drafted him, and they're going to expect a lot out of Baker, and they won't have a problem that if things go awry in the next 2 years moving on, if they have to. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but there's less of a connection, and you know how that can kind of work sometimes. So I think they're calling Cam to see how healthy Cam is. Cam was obviously working out with Odell. Most people have seen that on social media lately, and kicking the tires a little bit, but it doesn't sound like it got very far down the road. And really, Cam is not a quarterback that is built for what this offense does, sort of stylistically, schematically, so it wouldn't have fit all too well. But Cam's a great quarterback, obviously, as an MVP of the league previously. And if they were kicking the tires around the idea of maybe having him play the backup role before Case Keenum came in, and then sort of pushing Baker Mayfield, that would make sense to me. But just bringing him in as a third guy when they already have Garrett Gilbert on the roster still, and they brought in Kevin Davidson out of Princeton, their drafted free agent, I just don't know where that would fit. So tough to really know what that call was about, unless it was kind of tied into before they signed Case Keenum and wanted to just sort of gauge his interest in potentially coming to Cleveland and filling a backup role and fighting for time.
All right, Jake, let's jump to the weapon that they do have in Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, it was nice to see him at least tweet out, kind of reaffirm his commitment to the Browns. And I saw that tweet, you know, you can find me in the land, homie. We got unfinished business. Yes. He was responding to to Alex Wood, who the pitcher was predicting that he'd be on the Patriots before the season is over, and he said, take it to the bank. But let's go, because you go through the tape and all that. And I know he had injuries, and he was still recovering from that quad injury and trying to adjust, but there was no chemistry, right, with Baker. I think it was a career low, like 57% of his targets that he caught. And on the passes they said that were intended for him, it was a horrible passer rating for Mayfield. You've seen it all. You've dissected the season. Do you believe those numbers? And what do you expect this time around?
I certainly do. And that's a question. It's a good question, and one that I've been asked so many times, because when I wrote heading into last year, it was nothing but, you know, positivity, nothing but these guys are going to click, and this just makes a ton of sense. And then it just didn't. And, you know, you kind of read some things. If you read in between the lines about the relationship between Freddie Kitchens and what happened maybe after the scripted first 15 plays, where even Jarvis Landry, who's a pretty brutally honest guy, has mentioned that they were designing plays instead of designing ways to go to players. They were just worrying about plays. And I think that that's where you can lose a little bit as a coach, is sometimes if you try to rely too much on scheme instead of just saying, how can I get Odell Beckham the football? What situations create the best opportunity for this guy to be an athlete and do what he does best and make it simple? And I think that's where things went awry last year. Just the lack of cohesion from what was planned in practices and scripted to when things got sideways in a game and we needed to play on 2nd and 13 in the second quarter or the fourth quarter when we don't have a script or we don't have something that tells us. You have to have a play caller who's able to adjust and adapt on the fly and do that stuff. And I just didn't think that was something Freddie Kitchens was not able to do. And then Baker, too. Baker was just kind of bad last year. There's no real way around it. He missed high too often. He was inaccurate. His base was a mess. And sometimes he was pushing out of the pocket when he didn't need to, creating his own pressure. So he has to get better at true drop-back passing, feeling comfortable in the pocket. I think they've improved their tackles around him, obviously. That should help him feel a little bit more secure in the pocket. And then hopefully the scheme, which is so deceptive, and Kevin Stefanski, if you listen to him or get a chance to read quotes, he's all about marrying the idea of the run and the pass and making things challenging on the defense, as you know, Bobby would know playing linebacker. If you're really worried about playing downhill run game, if you have to get back and try to cover a curl flat or try to cover hook areas off of that, it's challenging. You got tight ends going laterally. It's difficult. So, you know, you hope with Odell, he's going to get a lot of opportunities to do deep downfield double move stuff where he is so special, opportunities to take some of those deep shots. Stephon Diggs had more air yards, and by air yards, I mean balls that are thrown in the air and how far down the field they're caught. He had more air yards alone than Jarvis and Odell did combined last year. So I think you'll see a very interesting balance between wide zone, different kind of run schemes, and then really pushing the ball deep downfield. And that's an area, too, where Baker's been pretty good in his NFL career.
Jake Burns of the Orange and Brown Report is talking Cleveland Browns with us here. And you know, you mentioned, you know, they helped beef up the offensive line in the draft, also address some of the defense, you know, back seven stuff. Is there a position group or groups right now that when you look at this, we talk about, you know, all the stars and the skill players and different things, position group or two or position or two that worry you about this team that would be the main reason that held them back at the end of the season?
Good question. I think linebacker is certainly an area that a lot of people are concerned about who cover this team, and it's not without justification. They let Joe Schobert walk, and I think this front office, who's obviously very analytically driven with Barry and Paul DePodesta, has decided that sort of the linebacker is viewed as the running back is on offense, where they're just not going to pay a premium dollar for that player. So they let Joe walk, who's been a mainstay of their middle linebacker Mike position for the last 3 years, and they're going to just try to fill it. They drafted a couple guys last year. Mac Wilson out of Alabama in the 5th round, who they like a lot, didn't have a very good year in terms of being able to fill holes, approaching forward, and just a step slow in the passing game. But it's there. You can see it on film. He knows where to be. He's a very very strong character kind of guy. He's very, you know, ton of bravado, loves Cleveland. All that stuff is a fit for him. They're going to try to slide him to Mike probably. Signed B.J. Goodson, a spot player out of Clemson, who's played a little bit in New York and a little bit in Green Bay last year, but has not been a full-time linebacker. He's trying to get a role here. Drafted another guy last year named Sione Takitaki out of BYU, 4th-round pick. Didn't play much, kind of a Sam linebacker, spot play guy. He's going to fight for a role, but they don't have proven linebacker talent for the most part. And they obviously this year, 3rd-round pick, Jacob Phillips out of LSU, was a leading tackler on that LSU defense, but has some limitations and wasn't quite as effective, obviously, on film as Patrick Queen, who was a 1st-round pick to Baltimore. So the linebacker group stands out to me. How are they going to get that group to be okay? They have to just get average play out of them. They have a really good front four Andrew Billings they added out of Cincinnati to go with Larry Ogunjobi, Sheldon Richardson, Miles Garrett, Olivier Vernon, and Adrian Claiborne, who they signed out of Atlanta. So they have depth up front. They have guys. Obviously, we know how well Denzel Ward has done in the NFL when he's healthy. Greedy Williams, Grant Delpit, they signed Carl Joseph and Anderson Deo in the back half. Can they get enough out of the back half, enough out of the front four to sort of offset what will be some deficiencies and learning curves at the linebacker position? If the defense is going to be any kind of competitive in what is a tough AFC North, especially defending Lamar and Ben Roethlisberger's healthy, and we know what Joe Burrow, we think he can be, they have to get some sort of decent play out of linebacker. That is, without a doubt, the biggest position group that is a problem going into 2020.
All right, great stuff from Jake Burns, Orange and Brown Report here on the Brian Heaton Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. Jake, really appreciate it, bud. You be well. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.